That are built to defend and protect this bold heart, this bold heart. But the way you marched into my home, not few big army with the weapon on your arm. Yes, you struck straight with your cold heart, your cold heart.
I'm like Nat, I'm like Nat. I'm a man of God, but where is Christ at? And even though my name is Nas, I am like Nat. Is this me declaring war or white flags? I now know why I was even born, to strike back. A full moon up in the sky, that's a sign that it's time to get my liberation, a perfect configuration. It's the birth of a nation, midwife black, mother, father, Caucasian, my blood Indian native. So now I'm contemplative being like Nat. About to show you what I'm made of. I'm what races are afraid of. No mule in the 40 acres, and despite that, watch out for the traitors. And when they say make America great again, do they mean make us all slaves again?
Don't be sidetracked. Is this you declaring war? No, we will never.
Good afternoon, Diaspora. This is Africa 500 coming at you once again for just a dynamic show. Of course, we love the month of August. This is Black August, where we recognize all the various fearless leaders and warrior queens who have fought, who have bled for the people across the diaspora and the African collective. Today, we are highlighting just an amazing family. You heard there speaking about war was Nas, taken from the soundtrack movie Birth of a Nation. We're going to be talking about a very important nation to the diaspora, the Shakur Nation. Of course, that is an ode to Dr. Matulu Shakur, our beloved Matulu Shakur, who just recently transitioned. Afeni Shakur and Tupac Shakur, they all have transitioned as of a few weeks ago. And so we want to focus on them just a little bit entryway, but we want to talk about the Shakur Nation, the commitment it takes, the resistance it takes, and finally, the constant liberation factor that it takes. So we're going to talk about that. We have two amazing guests. I'm honored to have them on with us. I've been very excited, been preparing for this show. We have Dr. Kokai Patterson, a longtime holistic health practitioner for people of African descent, and warrior attorney Mama Ifeoma Nwengaza. They are both with us. Elders, my mentors, are y'all on with us today across the diaspora?
Black August salute.
Straight shot. Black month, black time.
They ready already. Rich, I think we're going to burn the walls down again. They came out ready.
Yeah, we good and black up in here.
I love it. I love it. Y'all know how we roll. We keep it. This swimming blackness, diaspora getting blackness. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just get baptized in blackness. So they're going to be talking to us about, they're going to be talking to us about the Shakur family, the Shakur Nation. But ultimately, folks, as y'all know, with Africa 500, what is their task for us? What's the call to action? What is it that we are supposed to build, continue on from there? Because that's what Africa 500 is about. What are we to do? How are we to build? And these are the folks that we feature. So, folks, we're going to take just a quick little break with Pac. And we're going to come back and we're going to check in with our guests, our esteemed guests. And we're going to keep it moving. All right. So just a moment. Just with Pac.
To my unborn child, in case I don't make it. Just remember to my daddy unborn child. Did everything I could make. I never get to holler at my unborn child. Many things learned in prison. Blessed and still living, trying to earn every penny that I'm getting. And reminiscing to the beginning of my mission. When I was conceived, it came to be in this position. My mama was a panther loud, single parent, but she proud when she witnessed baby boy rip a crowd to school. But I dropped out and left the house.
Yes, Tupac Shakur giving an ode to Afeni Shakur. Woo! High energy, always high energy. But also we're highlighting folks in the background. A recent release by Mr. Holly, the Shakur Nation, an American family, the Shakur Nation that was built on the cover of that is Afeni Shakur. So we're going to speak to that again today, and we're going to be talking about that. Folks, I encourage you to go out and get that book. It's amazing. It goes into the Liberation War, goes into the various battles, but just how that Shakur Nation was built. So, folks, again, if you just join us, this is Black August. Ode to Black August, our fearless leaders, and also to our two guests, Mama Attorney Ifeo Wangaza and Dr. Kokai Patterson. Welcome to Africa 500, both of you. We're honored to have y'all today.
Thank you so much.
Black August salute. Thank you for having us.
I wanted to...
thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you for saying yes. Thank y'all for saying yes. I wanted to just kind of go into a little bit about... I want to start with you three folks, but just a little bit about just the war, just about building in times of war, the liberation of African people in America across the diaspora. And I want to start with you, Dr. Kokai, and then I'm going to go to you, Mama Attorney Ifeo. When we look at Dr. Mutulu Shakur, and we look at the Shakur Nation, Afeni Shakur, with just that name alone, Dr. Kokai, can you talk to our audience a little bit? For those in America, they may be somewhat familiar, but we also have our folks listening from the Caribbean and Mother Africa. Can you talk about the significance of the Shakur name in building the Shakur Nation? Dr. Kokai.
Thank you so much. I, of course, would always want to yield to my elder, Mama Fia. So I thank you for introducing me. I didn't have to, you know, take that away. But again, you know, I'm honored to be on the call with Mama Afia, in presenting this information to the community. So I met Dr. Shakur back in 1972. And when we think about the name, we think about Baba Abu Saladin Shakur, who, again, was a friend of Malcolm X's and promoted the whole importance of Black people standing for themselves, Black people feeding themselves, clothing themselves, educating themselves, you know, and, you know, of course, defending themselves, because, again, he was a Malcolmite. His sons, Lumumba Shakur, Zaid Malik Shakur, both who are ancestors now, took on that same banner and waved that same flag and stood for the importance of individuals, Black people in particular, taking on the responsibilities of our community. If there's something going on in the community having to do with food, let's get the food there. If it's something having to do with housing, let's do the housing. If it's a drug addiction issue, let's address the drug addiction. So his sons carried that on and, of course, moved on further in terms of Lumumba's relationship with Afeni. And then, of course, the shootout on the New Jersey Turnpike, Zaid Malik Shakur lost his life in that. And then, of course, furthering on, Tupac, you know, Mo Cream, and so many others in that immediate family that, again, carried it on in whatever way they decided to, whether it was in music or just raising their families and being a perfect Black example for our movement. So here we have individuals around the world now taking that name on. Just like individuals would name themselves Malcolm X, or, you know, they got a son named Malcolm. So we're really honored that people are doing that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kokai. Mama Attorney Ifeo, you know, as we listen to Dr. Kokai speaks and we think about the Shakurs, we're looking at Dr. Mutulu Shakur and Afeni Shakur. We're talking about a time of war, right? We're talking about where the Black community is being warred on. The African liberation is afoot. And me and you have spoken about how you build within times of war. You are an attorney. You have represented, you have submitted documents on behalf of Dr. Mutulu Shakur. To me, he's one of the most brilliant minds. It's fascinating. He actually wrote a document, Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Political prisoners in relation, and you were a former chair of the Jericho Movement, which represents our sheroes and heroes that have been locked up. Can you speak to the significance of him writing that, putting that together, and just the person he was, the dimensions within this very high intense time, and then his time in prison, still fighting this war behind the wall? Mama Ifeo.
You know, one of the things I've been looking at the different names, the meaning of the names, Mutulu, Shakur, Afeni Shakur, Apache for. At Mutulu, the name itself had an extraordinary meaning. I'm not sure. I haven't read the book and to find out how came to have that name. But he and Afeni both had gender-neutral names. Not only were they gender-neutral, they both lived up to the meaning of their names. Mutulu means friendly, great human, humankind, charismatic. He was an energizer bunny with the kind of clarity of a crystal. You pluck that crystal glass, how it just sings out with the Buddhist bell. He could hear one hand clapping, and he could not only hear it, but that he could convey the lesson to be learned that was being conveyed in that one hand clapping. He gave his life to not just to, although specifically to New African liberation, but even to humanity at large. And that is embodied in his call for a truth and reconciliation commission process. He studied the various forms of truth and reconciliation commissions processes, in addition to that of South Africa. When we hear truth and reconciliation commission, our minds immediately go to South Africa. However, South Africa or Zania was not the only country. In fact, it was probably mishandled most greatly in South Africa under Bishop Tutu and Nelson Mandela. There have been truth and reconciliation commissions actually here in the United States in Greensboro, North Carolina, where the police stood back and collaborated with the Ku Klux Klan in 1978 to slaughter members of the Communist Party and activists in Greensboro, North Carolina. So Dr. Shakur recognized the need for putting the modern day liberation struggle into context and to frame it. And he called it the Black liberation struggle. I called it UN reports and embraced by the United Nations in its official report, the COINTELPRO Civil Rights Era Political Prisoners, Prisoners of War, and Exiles. He recognized the need for a category to call to attention of the United States government and the world, and giving the world the authority to hold the United States accountable by creating a class. And that's how come I came up with the name as a result of discussions with him about his concept of a truth and reconciliation process. And that process was not simply limited to the specific acts or even the embodiment as represented by the folks who were and are incarcerated at this time, but that it represented what they represented, which is 400 years of human rights violations. I think that it's critical that we understand that, because it's critical that we pick that work up and carry it forward. I wanted to also mention the fact that Afeni's name was, the meaning of her name was spiritual helper and intuitive. Mm. Brought that to the movement and brought that even to the treatment of the death of Tupac, which I would note I was surprised to hear that it was continuing, that the investigation was continuing, and that a warrant had been issued and executed on a house in LA in the past couple of weeks. She always felt that and held that ultimately Pac would get justice to the extent that this system is capable of doing that, delivering justice.
Let me ask you, as you speak, and you bring in Afeni Shakur, and I was going to bring her in. They're interesting when you look at Dr. Mutulu Shakur, Afeni, and Tupac. They all, and Dr. Mutulu Shakur, in a video after he was released, he talks about knowing and not knowing we're at war. Each of them in their lives, through the human rights movement, which you just mentioned, the document, Afeni Shakur, in her representation, famous representation of herself, while pregnant, Tupac Shakur through his music. Can you speak to the importance of the actions that we should take? And either of you can comment on this, how they took actions because they realized that we were at war. The importance of first knowing, being conscious enough to realize that we're at war, and we think about our backdrop of today. Either one of you can comment on that.
I feel, go ahead, Mama. Mm-hmm. I yield.
Let me just also remind folk of Fannie's role in the Black Panther Party, being a member of Panther 21, and representing herself, successfully representing herself, was in a manifestation of her ability to intuit and to recognize where we are as being in a state of war, and being able to defeat the enemy, even though under those circumstances, even though she had never been to law school, she understood enough about their game that she could use their tools, contrary to the saying, Audre Lorde's saying, you can't dismantle the slave master's house with his tools. She definitely slowed him down when she got that acquittal. I think that she, I don't want to take up all the time, but I think that she manifests a level of personhood and the range of possibilities of Black female personhood that is still a model for us today. I yield.
Dr. Kokai, please.
Mama said it all. One of the points that I want to make, though, is that, in Black culture, we have you, Mama, we have Mama Fia, You know, we had our Mama Feeney. We still have her in spirit. Mm-hmm. The point that I'm making is that, you know, we are traditionally what they call intelligent. We are traditionally, you know, great, you know, at serving humankind. That's a part of our culture. So here we have some representatives who will put out front, you know, the Panthers, individuals in the Panther Party, you know, yourself, Mama Fia, you sisters are out front, and you all represent the same thing a Feeney represented. So, you know, it's important for our listeners to know that your daughters, your nieces, you know, your aunts and your mamas and your grandparents carry that same DNA, as they call it, carry that same African spirit within them. A Feeney, as my sister stated, represented herself in court, and she whipped them people up pretty good. You know, let's, you know, like Mama said, she slowed them down, honey, you know, based on what it was that she did. So, again, that's a testament to people like her, Angela Davis, so many other people, you know, who represented themselves in court situations. Or you can take a look at Dr. Sabi, you know, in my field, dealing with health. He represented himself in the Supreme Court and won the case. You know, and just like they kill revolutionaries, they kill healers too.
That, you know,
and Mutulu represents both of those.
I wanted to go into next is fascinating. That first, when I first learned about Dr. Mutulu Shakur, there's this man who fought political prison. He's incarcerated, but also he is a healer. He brings this dimension into the movement. This is a part of the defense. This is a part of a war weapon. It's war. He brings healing into it. This is significant. And I think this is important. Can you please speak to the importance of him bringing that, inserting that in a time of war, in a time of the intense pressure?
Absolutely.
Yes, please, Dr. Kokai.
Absolutely. 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 Just to give, you know, perspective in all of the revolutions that we may have studied, health and the health of the people has always been critical. You know, when I met Mutulu in 1972, he was already into acupuncture. I was in Washington, D.C. in 1970, you know, and we were working with the Panthers in D.C. So the Panthers had a connection with China. China was dealing with acupuncture.
Wow.
So we were exposed to acupuncture in 1970. Ooh. So when I met Dr. Shakur, you know, and Gary, Indiana, at the founding convention of what we now know as the Black Caucus, they called it the Black Assembly then. He was a young cat. I think I was 19 and he was 20, 21. And we introduced ourselves because he was up at the podium talking about the importance of health.
Wow.
You know, now the barefoot doctors concept came out of China. We look at Cuba. They have the best doctors in the world, point blank. There's no question, you know. And we know that they are the cadres that led the revolution. Mao Zedong sent those barefoot doctors out into the rural communities. They were the poor communities, you know, to deal with that. Che Guevara, Fidel Castro, again, using their doctors to go into the community to heal the people. One of the things that we always talk about is that you can't get people to do things if they're not in shape, if they're hungry, if they're starving, if they're ill. So we got to feed them, we got to educate them, we got to inspire them. So health has always been an integral part and a necessity in order for any movement to be successful. One of the statements that they even say in the military, the army operates off of its stomach and what it eats, you know. So you feed the army trash, you know, of course, that's how they're going to perform. So, yes, historically, health has been an integral part, a major priority, 1, 2, 3 in that priority list as it relates to being able to generate a movement in our community as, you know, different people talk about how the Panthers were able to organize people and get people to come. Well, if you're hungry, we got food. You sit down and you listen. Well, if you got a health issue, you know, come to our clinic. We'll treat you. And then we'll tell you the importance of this clinic and why we have to do this clinic. So there's political education that takes place when you're treating and healing people in the community. Why do we have to come to you for sickle cell testing? Why do we have to come to you, you know, for this or for that? Only because your country, your government, this system does not have your best interests at heart. So that's always an integral part. And I want to say this one last thing. Mm. One of our prominent healers, ancestor, Dr. Francis Kress Welding, talked about nine areas that they control. And I always add number 10, you know, which is health. So when she talks very about good. Politics, sex, education, you know, military, you know, religion, you know, and the others, I also add to that health. You know, as number 10, you know, which should be number one or two or three in that process. You know so, yes, my sister, I'm glad you asked that question.
Folks, if y'all just join us, we are having a fabulous, just an amazing, this is a treat. It's Black August, and we are looking at the Shakur Nation, the Shakur family. We have on with us the esteemed Dr. Gokhale Patterson, holistic practitioner, Mama Ifeah, attorney warrior, Mama Ifeah Nwagaza is on with us, and I'm Sister Tomiko. And we're talking about the Shakur Nation, but also what it takes to build. As I'm listening to you speak, Dr. Gokhale and Mama Attorney Ifeah, one of the things that you're bringing out, and y'all both bringing out, is that they're at war, a war's going on, it's still continuing, but they are able to feed the mind, body, and spirit. It's not just physical. You're talking about the spiritual aspect of the person. This is phenomenal. And you don't see this today on scale mass. We have pockets of it. How are you able, how are they able to do this? And anyone could speak, but this is what I'm hearing from y'all. They're approaching the person, mind, body, and spirit. Not just mind, not just body, and spirit. Either one of you can speak, please.
Mama Fear.
You know, a combination was we weren't that far from segregation. You know, we were still in the same neighborhoods, right? we were still going to the same churches without regard to class, even if we wanted to play class games. We also were experiencing the energy that was coming out of the 40s. Now, this is not to disregard the fact that we have always been at war.
Yes.
As Chokwe Lumumba, may his soul rest in power, used to say, we've been at war since they snatched the first African off of the continent and slammed them down in chains in North America. So it's just a question of the level of intensity at any given time. The 60s didn't begin in the 60s. The 60s began in the 20s, the 30s, 40s. Okay. So because we were still in touch with each other, that it was easier at that time to reach out and to, first of all, identify what the needs were around us. And secondly, to pool our resources and appropriate the resources of others to meet those needs. In addition to that, at this point in time, we are scattered. And I study the Jews, I study the Palestinians, I study the South Asians. There's a book called Tribes by Joel Kotkin that talks about how they maintain and how those peoples are successful. And the success, despite their displacement and their having been scattered around the world voluntarily or involuntarily, are tied together by their culture and their commitment to the humanity, dignity, and worth of themselves and each other, which takes us back to the slogan, self-respect, self-defense, self-determination. And the question becomes, how do we rebuild that because we have become the survivors and the strugglers under the military idiom of divide and conquer. So those of us who've made it out to what we think is freedom in the suburbs have turned our back on the those of us that we left behind in the cities, which are now being gentrified, or I call anglicized and cannibalized, and who are now showing up on the suburban doorsteps. Because we still all related. And when that blue light goes off behind that car, they don't care whether you got a PhD or you got a D. We all get treated the same. So I think that one of the things that we have to do is rebuild that that conscious connection.
Yes.
And the cops are helping us to some degree to do that. And then we've got to manifest it by going back and revitalizing the Saturday morning freedom school. You know, the Jews had a Hebrew school. They ain't just in there learning Hebrew, you know. The Japanese and the Chinese, they all have their Saturday school.
Mom, I'm going to pull you in. Mom, I'm going to pull you in a little bit because we're going to go into that.
Go ahead.
Because you're unpacking, you're unpacking. Dr. Kokai, please, your thoughts. A lot was just said. Go ahead.
Yeah, no doubt. I concur. When we think about that spirit, mind, body concept that, Mutulu embodied in the moving embodied, again, as I talked about Afeni and just, you know, the spirit of African women historically, you know, well, it's the same thing as it relates to spirituality. And as she said, you know, Baba Chokwe Lumumba, you know, my lawyer also, I love him. You know, we appreciate all of his work in our community. Clearly stated, you know, that the war's been going on ever since they set foot on African soil. And at that point, they began to beat the spirituality, the religious concepts, those kind of universal principles, just like the 42 principles of Maat, those 42 principles, they got rid of 30, 32 of them and left the 10 commandments, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, one of the principles in mind, you can't be jealous. If you're jealous, it's a sin. If you're envious, it's a sin. You know, I mean, it's talking about behavior and thought processes and how well people are as it relates to being able to handle their emotions and being able to define those. So that was the major thing that they did. They beat the spirituality out of us. They denied us the ability to pray, to worship, to do our rituals, you know, to throw our cowrie shells and, you know, wear our onks and, you know, do the things that we would normally do that were innate, you know, in our spirit, that were innate, you know, in our culture, in our daily behavior. It was taught to us. Dr. Chancellor Williams, one of our ancestors, who wrote in the book Destruction of African Culture, I'm sorry, Destruction of African Civilization. I'm sorry, Dr. Chancellor Williams, one of my mentors, he did a chapter in there entitled Early Education. And in that chapter, he outlined how the mothers, how the mamas and the babas all had specific responsibilities, how the elder brothers and elder sisters all had specific responsibilities to raise and train the babies and the infants and the young children as they came up. And at a certain point in time, the women would take the young lady, 12, 13 years old or whatever, off and do a private, you know, the woman thing, you know, do that whole private thing with the sisters. And the brothers, of course, would prepare the young brother for his manhood and take them both through their rites of passage. And then there's a communal rites of passage.
Yes.
In this culture, they separate the black man and the black woman. That was never a part of what it was that mm-hmm. we did. You know, we both led. Look at Queen Nzinga, yes. you know, the greatest warrior in Africa. You know, mm-hmm. you can throw Chaka and everybody else in there, but Queen was incredible. She was mm-hmm. a beast, you know, out mm-hmm. there. And she fought those Portuguese until she laid her head down. So that spirit that we're talking about, that connection with the higher power that mm-hmm. infused us and motivated mm-hmm. us and kept us going, and we understood that that was a reality, that that was a material kind of thing, that mm-hmm. it was realistic. Mm-hmm. And that's what it has been that has led us through these years, through the centuries, and mm-hmm. even now as we continue to move on. The spirit that's in, you know, Mama Afia, and the spirit that's in, yes. you know, all of us and yourself, yes. that is what we continue to carry and promote.
I'm done. I just dropped the mic. I'm up here.
God is absolutely wonderful. You know,
I'm just overwhelmed. I feel so grateful. Yeah. Oh my goodness, y'all just.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm again. Like I say, I always have to defer. You know, to Mama.
Yes.
You know, because of her history.
Mama keeps
and her
us
work,
in check, right?
You know, in the community, you know, and I know, you know, the work that she's done, and we love her dearly. You know, and you know, I pray for her and all of the other soldiers that are out there working, you know, in this process. But one of the major things that has been separated from our movement is that spirituality thing, as well as the health thing. And that's why Dr. Shakur was so important and so crucial, as I talked about early on, historically in revolutionary movements and war movements, even on the battlefield. What do you got? The medic. You know, somebody gets wounded.
That's right.
You know, and the medic, you think he ain't got no rifle? Yeah, he got a rifle. He got a gun.
Right. He's both.
You know, but his
job is to heal.
That's right. Yes. There you go. Mm-hmm. There you go. It's like Sister B. It's like Sister B said in the Dopest Death film. She said, you know, that's, you know, not his character. You know, Dr. Shakur is a healer. You know, he doesn't kill, he heals. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is the statement that she makes in Dope is Death.
Let me ask you, you know, as y'all speak and you're talking about the rituals, you're talking about Mayotte, Mama Attorney Fear, she talks about the connectedness that we had, the knees tied by the culture. And it's interesting, most people forget that Tupac, when he passed and he was assassinated, he was 25 years old. But Afeni Shakur, the inner development in the womb that she was able to do with her son, she herself had to already. Yeah, and on the show, we talk a lot about how do you develop. And Mama Fia was on the show a couple months ago. We talked about Randall Robinson. We did a tribute. And she was talking about how we need to develop children of resistance again. Taking a page from Afeni Shakur and this inner womb development, how do our mamas today, what are some of the things they can, we're talking about health, we're talking about healing, start that in the womb development. How can they begin to start it in the womb, to begin to build and raise these children of resistance? Mama Afia.
You know, I'm going to let
you'll let Dr. Kokai go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Mama. Thank you so much. But I know what she would have shared would have been, you know, formidable also. But, you know, it's important to recognize, you know, what that process is about those 9 months that it happens before. So at conception, you know, that's when it starts.
Yes.
So, you know, when that egg hits that, you know, that sperm and those things come together, that's when it starts. You know, people, you know, when people are born, they say, well, how old are you? They say, oh, the baby's just 1 month old. I say, well, you forgot to add those other nine. You know, you mean the baby's 10 months old.
Interesting.
You mean the baby's 11 months old. And of course, we have this whole war, you know, around abortion rights and life, this and that. The baby really not alive until 6 weeks or 3 weeks. No. The sperm is alive. The egg is alive. You know, so what are we talking about? But again, that's some intricate kind of stuff that we've gotten away from that's not accepted in this material world over here in terms of how they practice, you know, medicine. Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I teach is this holistic concept, spirit, mind, and body, that with the spirit, that individual, the pregnant mama, the children that are in the household, if there are other children in the household, the dad, you know, and anybody, they have to practice the same concept, which means that spiritually, mm-hmm. the mother has to pray, meditate, breathe, get her sleep. You know what I'm saying? All of these things enhance the spirit. You don't sleep, you're going to have a bad spirit. You don't pray, you don't meditate, you don't breathe. You get no oxygen to the brain and through the body. So we know that the spirit is the breath of life, you know, but again, they've disassociated these things with us. So we don't even know that the spirit is associated, you know, with breath. So that individual pregnant mama has to be doing those things. But here's the kicker right here. When we talk about trauma, every person that's black in this country has to go through trauma resolve. So every client that I have, when I do a consultation with them, I tell them, oh, you got diabetes, you got this, but it's the trauma that you have to resolve in order to be healed also. So that's that whole spiritual component, that if a person's anxious, worried, and they got high blood pressure, they can't resolve it. If a person's lonely, sad, depressed, and they got diabetes, they can't resolve it because their systems are responding to their emotions and how they're feeling based on outside stimuli.
Dr. Kokai.
Relationships, situations, and things of that nature.
Dr.
Yes,
Kokai,
ma'am.
I want to just insert, I want to play Feeney real quick because one of the things you just mentioned, of her speaking, you mentioned about trauma. Mama Yafia mentioned about manifestation. And we're also talking about turning that pain, that trauma to reality. We're going to listen to Afeni Shakur talking about her son after he passed and what she is doing. But also she mentions trauma. Let's play her a little bit.
I want to know, because it will not change anything.
Afeni Shakur instead invested $4 million to create a safe place for other young talents who can identify with Tupac and his sometimes controversial messages.
These children are living in a world where their friends, their brothers, their sisters, their cousins, their classmates are dying violently. They are trying to live with good thoughts, with hope, and with vibrancy in a world that offers them that. Our only choice is to stand in here with them and to say, you're right. You can hope for a better life. You can do it differently. Ms. Shakur did not go on a rampage about the people who shot her son.
She used her pain, anger, and mostly royalties from Tupac's recordings and other projects to acquire 9 acres of land and building space, keeping one of her son's dreams alive.
Jeez, we still visualize places that we can roll a piece, and in my mind's eye, I see this place the players going past. I got a spot for us all so we can ball at Thug's Magic.
Tupac, right when he was alive, one of the visions that he had for his own future was to have Thug mansions all across the country, which would be safe places for young people to come and develop their arts.
She settled for this, converting an old paint store into a glossy performing arts center for young teens. Memories of Tupac throughout.
Might it have been easier for you as a mother who lost your son, who is a successful recording artist, violently, to have just closed that chapter and said, I don't want anything to do with recording music or the performing arts, period.
It would have been easier for someone else. I am a recovering addict. My children and myself and I come from lots of pain and trauma, but God has turned our lives into something besides lemons.
And in the fall of-
Okay, that was a CNN interview with Afeni Shakur, and she speaks to, and you were just talking about that, Dr. Kokai, and you're taking trauma, and she's taking pain, and she's manifesting it. This is a Tupac art center that she built, and she mentioned in there that she's talking about herself, but all of us. If you black in America, of African descent, you experience this trauma, this pain. How do we begin to manifest into reality these institutions, these buildings, these structures that help us heal? Because that's what she's talking about. Dr. Matulu, he manifests in structures that goes towards our healing, bringing us back into humanity, humanness. Can you speak to that? Go ahead, Dr. Coca. I just wanted to insert that, please. Let me go to Mom.
Thank you so much. I we work with a group called the Acupuncture Detox Specialist Collective.
Okay.
So we're actually doing that, and we have those institution groups in probably about four or five different cities where we're actually training young men and women to perform acupuncture. And because we know the trauma is that deep, that we have to get an acupuncture detox specialist in every church, in every community center, in every Black organization. So we've been on a tear, you know, for the last 20 some years or so to do that. So the training has continued. So I, you know, would tell individuals in the community that all you need is your basement to start, your living room to start.
Yes.
You know, this is how, you know, Mama Fia knows, you know, every movement started in a living room, in a basement. You know, in a backyard, at a recreation center, in the basement of a church, or, you know, in an alley, you know, somewhere we would meet and talk in the park, you know, we'd meet in the park. So everything started where there's no walls, you know, and nothing was there. And it was created based on manifestation, as you stated. So you continue to have these meetings every week in your house. Eventually that space is going to be too small. And the creator is going to come up with a space for you to be able to move into. And that's us, again, dealing with our spiritual laws, you know, the law of affirmation and the law of putting out to the universe what we want. And we can get it. I've seen it work. I know it works. You know, and all of the revolutionaries know that it works. That's how we've been able to do the things we've been able to do with literally nothing being given to us, but us having to have to earn it, us having to have to go out and create situations where we would have the resources, you know, that we need. So I implore everyone that's listening to this call to begin to have meetings and discussions about what's needed in your community, in particular as it relates to the needs of that community, and then begin to formulate ideas and then begin to do the prayers and the meditation and asking that the Creator bring to you what you need. And at the same time, not just waiting, but getting that pad and pencil out, and, you know, writing for some grants and some other kinds of funds, sending some letters out, some GoFundMe campaigns, you know, et cetera. Those things work very, very well when it comes to, you know, asking for funds and resources to do something for young people in the community. People jump on it right away.
Mama, Attorney Fear, listening to Dr. Kokai and Afeni Shakur talking about manifestation, you mentioned manifestation. You've talked several times when you've come on Africa 500 about institution building. You mentioned about the Saturday schools, about having meeting places. And you talked early about identifying the needs and this conscious connections. I like that. Can you speak to going forward how That's the ultimate for our survival. We're going to have to go back to those conscious connections and manifestation of institution building. Mama Attorney Fia.
I think in that manifestation, that what we have to understand is that the institutions that we build in a period of warfare are different from the institutions that we build in the time of peace.
Yay, both.
For instance, right now, other than the church and possibly a nightclub during the day, we only have those spaces that Dr. Kokai just referenced, our homes. And they definitely work because my father and mother, Garveyites, built an international corporation of churches which exists to this day starting in the living room. So we know that that works. And I think that what is critical is that we understand that that works, that that is the process. The measure of success is not how big the building is or how many bodies there are in that building, but that what comes out of that the process that we have engaged to win the hearts and minds of our people and to understand the spectrum of healing, that warrior is just one end of the spectrum of healing, of health. that either you may be struggling against a material enemy on one mm-hmm. end of that spectrum, and on the other end of that spectrum, mm-hmm. you are struggling against, as they say in the Bible, mm-hmm. demons and higher other powers.
Come on now.
That's right.
Which may be germs, or it may be the occupying mm-hmm. army in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So the flexibility is critical.
Hmm.
And our ability to reinterpret what is real, what is important, mm-hmm. and what is urgent, being able to identify between those things and to give them the appropriate attention given the category that they are in. There's another book that I'll mention is called The Starfish and the Spider, which talks about flexibility and the regenerative power of the starfish. The starfish and the spider, and while Al-Qaeda will never be defeated, well, of course, Al-Qaeda means is represented by represents guerrilla warfare. And we know that when we look at history in this country, and the European and its genocidal assault on the indigenous people, that the Apaches were the last to be conquered. They were the last to be conquered because they were a nomadic people. And it took the Europeans a while to figure out how to reorient them, as Dr. Kokai was talking about, taking away the spirit and getting us to focus on something different. The first thing that they did was they gave them a piece of land and they gave them some cattle. They made them a sedentary people, which was to completely decimate their culture, their spiritual essence. So the flexibility, I often call on people to develop the ability to look at everything in phenomenological terms and not get distracted by what it looks like, but to dig into what it in fact is, which is exactly what I hear Doc talking about when he's talking about our practices. When he was talking about what is now called epigenetics.
Yes.
That growth begins at conception and continues from one generation to the next. So flexibility, flexible institution building.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. Folks, you join us is Black August, of course, and we are highlighting two of our Black August warriors and healers, Dr. Kokai Patterson and Mama Attorney Ifeo Wanganza. Excellent conversation, dialogue, but also we're getting a blueprint. We're getting call to actions as they speak. Folks, we're going to begin to, diaspora audience, we're going to begin to wrap it up a little bit. We're going to take just a quick break with Tupac, and we're going to come back and we're going to listen to Dr. Mutulu Shakur, his call to action, and we're going to end our show with him, but also the feedback from our guest today on what his call to action is to us. And this is an interview after. But first, we're going to hear a little bit from Pac, and we're going to come back to our guest.
Revenge for the agony they did to me. See, my life ain't promised, but it sure gets better. Hope you understand my love letter to my unborn child. Places. Tell the world I feel guilty to being anxious. Ain't no way in hell that I could ever be a rapist or start to face this cold world on a good day. When will they let the little kid
kids in the hood play. I got shot 5 times, but I'm still breathing. Living proof there's a God if you need a reason. And I believe in my own.
Right, that's Pot Love to My Own Born Child. Living proof if you need a reason. All right, mm-hmm. folks. he went out like he came in screaming, unleashed mm-hmm. into the world. So we're going to hear a little bit of an interview by Dr. Matula Shakur talking about what we need to do now. Just a couple of minutes. This is since his release. And we're going to get our esteemed guests. We're going to get their feedback and his call to action, what it is for us today.
Determined that if they undermine the black man, they undermine the nation. In the discussion of where do we go forward, we could not find a more clear example of a genocide waged against an individual type than the struggle to suppress the black man. From his genitals always up to his brain. And every technique they use to undermine our confidence, our courage, and our ability to set our spirit free was an attempt to undermine the whole black nation. So black man, we are now in a position with the black woman holding up the sky, beating back these slugs, holding on, waiting for us to come. They're waiting for us to come. Stop this horizontal aggression that's primarily done by black men, African men, killing our race, killing each other, killing our culture. The black man has an obligation. To get side by side with this great black woman, and let's get this party started.
Dr. Matula Shakur, it's a few months before he passed. I guess, comments. Mama Fia, I'm going to start with you. What is his message, his call to action?
Well, there's nothing else to say to join together.
He said, come on, let's get this party started.
As there was an article written by Sister Aminata Umoja some years ago, Ain't No Revolution Without Black Women. So brothers got their marching orders, so come on, let's get it done.
Dr. Kokai, the importance of the African man and woman coming together, like you mentioned earlier, has always been that. It is under the European domination, white supremacy, where it's been this concerted effort to separate us. Dr. Kokai, please. Dr. Kokai, you there?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I want to say two quick things before I recite this statement from Dr. Shakur.
Okay.
One, in order to do something, people can go to MatuluShakur.com. MatuluShakur.com. Or friends and family of MatuluShakur.com and punch on how to help. Last thing is that BANA, the Black Acupuncture Advisory Association in North America, has been reinstated. So we want people to go to BANA.org, you know, and sign up and register so that once we get the membership open, you know, et cetera, and all other programs that we want people to be involved in so they'll be up on that information. So in terms of what Dr. Shakur wanted to happen, the last thing is for individuals to watch Dope is Death. Dope is Death. The marching orders are right there in Dope is Death. You see people doing and carrying out the work, the Acupuncture Detox Collective around the country. So these are Dr. Shakur's words in terms of what we need to do. He says, pioneers, I feel for one, I need to re-engage. It might be because of my 30 plus years in the penitentiary, but I still think like you. I still harbor the passion to evoke empathy for the suffering and the confidence in knowing that we can have an impact and make a change as in the beginning. Not only can we confront these maladies, but create a style of work, an application that can start a new movement for healthcare. The objective is to prepare our cadre to take over our innovative application and to turn it over to the hands of the masses. This will take time. We'll have to be deliberate because of our age. Yep, I'm in that. We'll need to work smarter and not harder. Our mentorship will expose new, brilliant healers on the sidelines, ready to take their place in history or our movement. The struggle will continue to thrive as a result of our determination and sacrifices, lest we forget the enemies that existed in the past. The opportunity for success or failure is still ours, stronger in some respects, but clearly identified. The shared knowledge of our past struggles should give us some advantages, and the advances of social media will aid our campaign and confirm our future successes. I'm truly eager to hear your remarks as to this assessment, as well as any corrections of my thinking or vision regarding where I can best make a difference. I anxiously await getting back to the good work with you, the Barefoot Doctors and Natural Healers. Stiff resistance, high aim, and go all out straight ahead, Dr. Mutulu Shakur.
Ashe, ashe.
Ashe. Ashe. Before you shut down, let us do welcome home our brother Rochelle Cinque McGee, formerly the world's longest held political prisoner. And that we take those steps that are necessary to make sure that his transition or reentry is as successful as possible.
I love it, Ashe. And also,
there's Afia. Do you know the website that they're sending monies to? I had it, but I don't have it. I know they've raised several thousands of dollars for our dear brother.
Free Rochelle McGee.com.
All right, and people can make their donations there. And again, we want to thank everybody in the community for contributing to all the different funds, the Black Panther Fund, Mutulu, Jamil Alameen, all of our political prisoners. We want to thank all of our listeners and everybody in our community, in the world community, for all of the tremendous support that you've given us. And we truly, truly, truly love you all and appreciate you all.
One final question for both of y'all is for our audience as we close out. What is the message, the legacy, the Shakur Nation for us today? What's their message to us that they leave with us, if you would have to say, to our audience across the diaspora in Americas, the Caribbean, Mother Africa? What should we take from today's show?
Well, I'm going to jump in because I want Mama to finish. But I'll say it just like this. We are family. We are family. The African diaspora, we are family. That's the message from this record from my head.
Okay. Mama Afia.
It's hard. It's hard to go greater than that.
go ahead, Mama.
self-respect.
Yes.
And in being family, we manifest self-respect.
That's right.
Self-defense. And self-determination.
Come on now. That's right.
Yes.
Folks, thank y'all so much, Diaspora Audience. You had a treat
today.
Well,
let me say, hold on, sis. Let me thank you. I know you've been thanking us throughout the whole program.
Yeah.
So let me thank you. My brother Ty. I just, the work the work that you all are doing is phenomenal, and we really, truly appreciate it. And I pray that the ancestors will continue to guide, protect you all, and give you all the resources that you need. And again, thank you for this opportunity.
I appreciate it. I
join him in that. I join him in that prayer.
I try to follow y'all. Just do the work. Just a soldier on the field. You know, you need your soldiers.
You doing it, baby. You doing it.
You doing it.
You doing it. You doing it.
But folks,
you doing it, baby.
Yeah. No doubt. Our diaspora, we had a treat today. We had some talking about the Shakur Nation, Shakur family, which involves Shakur's tie to, I took from that resistance, commitment, and sacrifice. Very important. And also, our esteemed elders held out for us some points. We have got to identify needs around us. We need resources. We have to get back tied together by culture. We can be warrior and healer at the same time. And we have got to develop, once again, consciously those connections so we can manifest at the highest vibration possible. Diaspora audience, we appreciate you as also always. People in the sun, stay in the light, and Tupac is going to take us out. Appreciate you, everybody. Peace and blessings.
Thank you. Peace and blessings to you.
Free the land.
By any means necessary.
Since I'm born the wild, in case I never get to holler at my unborn child. Many things learned in prison, blessed and still living, trying to earn every penny that I'm getting. And reminiscing to the beginning of my mission, when I was conceived, I came to be in this position. My mama was the panther loud, single parent, but she proud when she witnessed baby boy rip a crowd to school. But I dropped out and left the house, cause my mama say I'm good for nothing. So I'm out since I only got one life to live. God forgive me for my sins, let me make it, and I'll never steal again or live again. My only friend is my misery, wanting revenge for the agony they did to me. See, my life ain't promised, but it sure gets better. Hope you understand my love letter to my unborn child. Places. Tell the world I feel guilty to being anxious. Ain't no way in hell that I could ever be a rapist or something to face this cold world on a good day. When will they let the little kids in the hood play? I got shot 5 times, but I'm still breathing. Living proof there's a God if you need a reason. Can I believe in my own faith? Will I raise my kids in the right or the wrong way? Damn, mama, I'm a man now. I wanna make it on my own, not a handout. Make way for the world when prophesied. I wanna go in peace when I gotta die on these cold streets. Ain't no love, no mercy, and no friends, in case you never see my face again. To my unborn child, hey. To my unborn child, to my unborn child, to my unborn child. Dear Lord, can you hear me? Tell me what to say to my unborn seed, in case I pass away but my child get to feel love. Or we all just cursed to be street thugs, cause being black hurts. And even worse if you speak first, living my life as an outlaw, what could be worse? Cause maybe if I tried to change who I'm kidding, I'm a thug till I die. I'm a ride and man, touch bases, eat lunch and plus places. Regular criminal oasis awaits us. If there's a ghetto for true thugs, I'll see you there. And I'm sorry for not being there. Just know your daddy was a soldier, me against the world, best of poison. All my little girls, tell the Lord I'm eternal. Rest in the peace, peace, take care of all my seeds and my unborn child. This letter goes out to any seeds that I might not get to see because of this lifestyle. Just knowing that your daddy loves you, got nothing but love for you. All I wanted was for you to have a better life than I had. So I was out here on a 24-hour, 365 grind. When you get to be my age, you'll understand. Just know I got love for you. And I see you if there's a ghetto for you. All day, every day.
Watch out for these sex effects. Sure, it's coming down the dirt.